Welcome, everybody. From all around the world. Welcome to this podcast. Escaping the entanglements of our lives. You got yours. And I've got mine. I'm your host. I'm Dolphus Q. I'm the originator and the creator of this podcast. Now, I believe our lives, yours and mine, are easily entangled with things both real and imaginary, malignant and benign. Some of these entanglements are necessary, and all of these entanglements can affect our levels of stress. And stress, my friends, can be an unholy mess. But I maintain that we can keep our sanity if we learn to set our minds free. If we learn to escape. And it is as simple as Buddha sitting under the yum-yum tree. And if you're following me, you know exactly what I am doing. I'm reading and writing my book before your very ears. This is my method of escaping one of the major entanglements of my life. How are you doing it? If you're doing it at all. But now, like the walrus said, the time has come. Yes, the time has come for the reading of the word. Episode 14, chapter 14, Like the Hunter in the Sky. It's a long ride by freight train from Houston to San Antonio. But when I awoke, Son Bolo said we were almost there. He said we made good time because we rode on a hot shot. Ain't no way we would be almost there if this train was not a hot shot. I nodded my head and thought, so this is the hot shot I was told about. A freight train that moved like a bullet shot from a barrel, and it barely broke its speed down long enough for a change of crews. Each employee had to hop on and off before a horn blasted out a final warning and the train regained its speed. Indeed, the freight train zoomed swiftly ahead like an emergency vehicle. Although the freight train was over 100 cars long, it outran the traffic on the freeway whenever it happened to run parallel with it. I stood in the open doorway of the boxcar, and as a joke, I waved my hand goodbye to the passengers who rode in the vehicles that sought to keep pace with the freight train. Man, this baby moves like a bat out of hell, I yelled to Son Bolo. I think she moves faster than that, he yelled back at me. The trains lay flat and smooth ahead. They offered no resistance to the swiftness of the train. There was no sharp curves to take or steep hills to climb. The units that pulled the speed and freight train approached all railroad crossings with caution. The units began to blast their horns several miles out from each crossing, and each crossing prepared the same way. A mechanical arm painted black and white dropped into place. A red light flashed and a bell clanged out a warning. I left the open door and sat down on the wooden floor when there was nothing much left to see, only a dry mountainous terrain. The magnitude and ruggedness of the terrain made me marvel at the difficulties and challenges faced when the tracks were laid over 100 years ago. I believe we would have reached El Paso if the train hadn't stopped and stayed too long in San Antonio. I was told a hotshot only stopped at the end of the line or for an emergency. The moment we began to feel a reduction in the speed of the train, Son Bolo became alarmed. He listed a string of things that could be probable causes and concluded with, "Then it could be the Border Patrol on the hunt for illegals." I spoke out of fear, unable to disguise it in my voice. "But we ain't illegals. What if they find us? What will they do?" "I ain't God. How am I supposed to know all of that?" he snapped, visibly irritated. "Just stay in your corner and keep away from that door." I retreated to my corner, but resolved humbly to Son Bolo as I did so, "Well, either way, we know all the probable causes. Now I guess we wait on time." But as we waited on time and the minutes ticked away, the train came to a complete halt, signified by hisses of air that signaled the brakes had been set. I heard silence, not even an utterance from Son Bolo. I waited until it felt I could wait no more. I crawled from my corner to peep out the door. "Stay away from that door," Son Bolo snapped before I could reach it. "It could crawl with bulls or the Border Patrol out there." I retreated to my corner like a downtrodden little Jack Horner. Son Bolo held his head far out the door and turned it every direction but up towards the sky. When he seemed certain of something, he pulled his head back and spoke quickly. "I ain't going to wait no more. Joe, get your stuff. I'm going to get off this sucker right now." I didn't argue or hesitate, but I was confused. Did he see danger ahead? Other than that, it didn't make any sense to get off the train now, especially since it was a hot shot. We had enough provisions, water to drink, a little something to eat, plus he had cigarettes. It made no sense to me. Still, I followed his order like the last member of the Light Brigade. It was easy to get out of the boxcar, but immediately I felt trapped in a vortex of freight trains. It seemed impossible to sneak from that boxcar to where Son Bolo led us without camouflage. Although there were plenty rail cars to duck behind and crawl under to hide, we also had to sneak across a vast vacant field of railroad tracks before we reached the chain link fence that kept trespassers from railroad property. We made it to the fence, either because of providence or no one was on duty in the observation tower that looked out over the yard below. When we reached the fence, I heard the release of air brakes. And within minutes, I saw the movement of the rail cars as the hot shot began to pick up speed. I uttered to myself, we could have been on our way to El Paso. Then turned to Son Bolo. When do you think she'll get there? Oh, she'll be in El Paso before the sun comes up in the morning, said Son Bolo. But it's Sunday, and I always plait my hair on Sundays, like some people always go to church. We never saw a church nor visited downtown San Antonio. Remained in the vicinity of the railroad tracks. We found a convenience store. He handed me a book of food stamps, told me to keep them. He had cash in his pockets and purchased a pack of cigarettes and a six-pack of beer. I purchased peanuts, potato chips, and a couple of slices of pizza. He found a cool, shady spot near the tracks where he began to comb and plait his hair. We didn't talk about anything that glued itself to my memory. It seemed so idiotic to have got off the train simply so he could comb and plait his hair, and still more idiotic to stay put in the vicinity of the railroad tracks. Why not explore? Walk to downtown San Antonio. Why not search for a Sally or at least a church mission? Why only sit beneath the trees by the railroad tracks? After Son Bolo had plaited his hair and we had finished the last cans from the six-pack, he decided to make a move. It was a scary move to me. He started back towards where we had escaped, the main gates of the yard. I saw those gates as the open mouth of a lion. I stood too scared to speak. I envisioned trouble ahead as I followed behind him. But miraculously, Son Bolos led us through the main gates without detention. And inside the yard, I glanced over my shoulder. Every westbound train had to enter through those gates. I took my entry as a positive sign. I would reach the promised land. Son Bolo proceeded boldly towards what appeared to be the hub of the yard, a tall, towering traffic control center. The center's clear windows of glass looked out over a massive network of railroad tracks. Tracks that curved and twisted like snakes before they straightened out into perfect lines that sought infinity. And below the height of the tower stood an array of rail cars with a mix of units ready to pull off. As we neared the control tower, Son Bolo became excited with something he saw. This means any train that leaves on this set of tracks has to slow down to make this curve. Son Bolo walked towards the last set of tracks next to the fence and sat down on the ground. He said we would camp out there and wait. I thought it was a good catch-out spot to hobo a freight train, but not when daylight exposed you to the eyes of the world. I felt uneasy as I unshouldered my knapsack and sat down on the ground. Son Bolo chuckled with his eyes on me and hunched his shoulders. Relax, Joe. Man, it's Sunday. Ain't but a few folks at work today, and I bet those few wish they had the day off. Their presence is only for show, to keep the lights on, to answer the phone. I paused and took stock of what I saw around me. I looked beyond what made me scared, and suddenly I realized I hadn't seen any human beings. What surrounded me looked like a deserted wasteland of freight trains. My fears fled. I chuckled at myself. I resolved to relax and follow Son Bolo. I was positive he would lead me to the promised land. However, as soon as I became comfortable in my relaxation, we were surprised by the appearance of a man on the other side of the fence. He wore a green uniform, a badge, and a pistol. He told us we were trespassing. Son Bolo admitted that we were trespassers, but explained we was wayfarers without means, only trying to catch a ride on a freight train to California. The man's face remained nondescript as he had listened. He asked had we seen any illegals. We answered that we had not. Well, the man concluded, I'm on the hunt for illegal immigrants, not a couple of hobos waiting to catch a freight train. But I suggest you vacate that spot and move elsewhere, preferably off railroad property. We both got to our feet. Son Bolo asked the man, was he familiar with the train schedule? Everything shuts down on Sunday. Doesn't start up until after midnight, the man said. The first train out is a hot shot straight to El Paso. He stood and watched as we walked towards the main gates. Son Bolo cursed under his breath. We exited the main gates after a brief walk. We stopped under an overpass that was in eyesight of the gate. Son Bolo said we were not going to go any further when we saw signs of a campfire where other hobos had camped out. Son Bolo said evidently this was the catch-out spot. He preferred the spot inside the yard where we had been. This spot meant that we would have to catch the train on the fly. I was no longer terrified by that prospect. Son Bolo didn't think the train would be rolling all that fast, but it would be building up speed. We won't have much time to pick and choose, he said. We got to hop on the first thing we see to ride. When darkness covered the land, I sat and stared at the main gates. I felt this had been a wasted day. Son Bolo sat with his back against one of the concrete pillars that supported the overpass. He was quiet, quite possibly asleep or deep in his own thoughts. I turned my stare from the gates to the stars that littered and lit the darkness of the sky. The moon was out, but not full. I located the Big Dipper and soon found the North Star. I thought of my travels and my tribulations from whence I had come thus far in my search for freedom, and pondered upon the future, the unknown tribulations I had yet to travel. I looked from the stars and back to the main gates until my eyelids grew too heavy to lift and my chin dipped in nods. When I looked up at the night sky again, the Big Dipper had moved. I would have sworn my eyes had only been closed only a few brief minutes. But when I looked towards the main gates, I saw several beams of bright lights that steadily increased in size and brightness. My ears began to hear the rumble and hum of the big diesel engines that pulled freight trains. Sunbolo was on his feet. "This is it. Come on." I was on my feet like a flash from a camera. I waited anxiously for the train to reach us. First came the units. I counted five of them. Next came a series of tankers and grainers, a cars without places to stand or room to ride. Then came a long chain of gondolas, emptily gondolas. "I guess we better get on one of these," Sunbolo yelled above the rumble and hum. "I don't see any boxcars." He told me what to do. I ran alongside the front end of a gondola. I heaved my gear over the side into the car, then ran to the tiny foot ladder and inserted a foot into one of the rungs. Then I climbed into the gondola and dropped to the floor. Sunbolo had done the same thing at the rear of the car, but was faster and already inside when I jumped to the floor of the car. I grinned. I had done it. Sunbolo had unrolled his gear and lay on the bed he had made on the floor. I stood and looked out at the stars and the night scenery. The train traveled behind warehouses in an industrial district. I saw gaps of city lights as the train speeded past intersections and railroad crossings. Once I began to see no signs of city lights, I decided to unroll my gear and stretched out like Sunbolo. I laid flat on my back and looked up at the stars. It felt great to be in motion again. To know for certain, I moved nearer to the promised land. I found Orion the Hunter among the stars. I smiled and thought of my hunt for freedom. It will soon be over. I stretched and yawned, and then, still smiling, I turned over on my side and drifted off to sleep. And thus, we have reached the end of our reading of the word for this time. I invite everybody to join us next time for escaping the entanglements of our lives. And until then, so long, everybody.